celebrating aircraft home building and innovation. This is EAA Radio in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
I'm Farid Guillot. On September 25, 1978, PSA Flight 182, a Boeing 727 on approach to San Diego's Lindbergh Field, collided with a Cessna 172 in visual flight conditions. Air traffic control had pointed out the Cessna to the PSA crew, and they acknowledged seeing the traffic. For various reasons, the PSA crew lost sight of the 172 and overtook the aircraft from behind, hitting it with its right wing. The collision rendered both planes uncontrollable, and the ensuing crashes killed 144 people, including seven on the ground. The mid-air collision brought about many airspace changes in the San Diego area, and served as another impetus behind terminal collision avoidance system technology being widely adopted in commercial aviation. 32 years later, filmmaker David Frazina has produced a one-hour documentary, Return to Dwight and Nile, which is named for the two streets where the 727 landed, and explores the stories of the people affected by the accident. Frazina has no ties to San Diego, but he was affected by the crash at a very young age.
It was something that I remembered as a kid. I remember seeing the news reports on TV coming home from school that day. I was 11 years old. There was the photo, the Hans 1 photo, the famous Hans 1 photo that I remember distinctly, and it's always ingrained in my head, always something that I remembered. Every time I hear of a plane crash, I always think of that image that Hans Wendt took. And in my adult years, wanting to be, break into films, wanting to start doing something more than just short films, I set out to do a documentary. And this was a few years ago. And then I remember seeing a weekly series on one of the cable stations. I think it was Discovery Channel, where they were doing a weekly retrospect on plane crashes. And I was waiting for them to do something on PSA, and I'm like, and they did nothing about PSA. I'm like, why has no one done anything about PSA, especially them? I did more research and realized that no one has ever done anything about it. So that kind of set the fire on me to start looking deeper into this. And come December of 07, I submitted online a couple of ads on Craigslist out here in San Diego, and to see if anybody wanted to talk about this tragedy from 30 years before, and the response was overwhelming. I got emails and phone calls and people calling me on the phone crying about their memories of that day. It was really something, and I realized I had tapped into something that needed to be dealt with out here, and I just pursued it from there.
What type of documentary is Returning to Dwight and Nile? Is it a deconstruction of events? Is it a storytelling of people's experiences?
It's a storytelling of people's experiences. It's mostly interviews. There's lots of photos. There's some 60mm footage of the crash site that day, and some things are unique to the film. There are, like I said, interviews. There's about 13 people in the film. We interviewed about 70, and I narrowed it down to about 13 to tell the story. Some of the talk is rather frank and gruesome, I guess. I put the talk in there. I didn't show any images, but I let them talk about what they experienced, because it was very healing for the people I interviewed. They wanted to talk about it, so I let them talk, and I use a lot of their verbiage in the film, and some of it's very unsettling to listen to. But as the film progresses, you realize why these folks are still in pain and still trying to deal with this, because it was so traumatic for them back then.
Now, you mentioned earlier 16mm film. In gathering images and information for this particular documentary, what has changed in the media's coverage between then, when the accident occurred, and now, as far as just the technology available to cover an event like this?
Back then, it's if you were lucky enough to possess a handheld camera, that people would mostly use for home movies and stuff, and if you are lucky enough to, if you want to use the word lucky, but if you happen to be at a news event that was worthy of filming, then you captured it on your little camera, versus today, obviously, with all the cell phones and everything else you can do to take pictures. But I can imagine what it would be like today with all the cell phones and the handheld cameras everybody has in their pockets today, what the coverage would have been today. But back then, that just that one photo that Hans Wendt took, that's all that is around from that day, and just the some people actually went to the crash site with those little Kodak cameras, that were popular back then, and took snapshots of what they saw that day, and then the 60mm footage that people were giving me that they had in their basements and things like that. It was pretty overwhelming, the stuff people were very forthcoming and very interested in being part of this.
Until you started this project, what has been your exposure to aviation, and what have you learned about flying?
Well, my exposure to aviation has just been, it's just something that's always interested me. Aviation, I remember going, I used to go to the airport in Boston as a young kid, a teenager, just to hang around and walk around and see all the planes and see how the whole operation, you know, took place. I always thought that was interesting. Commercial aviation is just something that always interested me. The accidents that happen obviously are very intriguing, and how those happen, and how the investigation uncovers, you know, the different aspects of a crash, which is very interesting. But with this particular crash, there really wasn't much of an investigation. It was pretty cut and dry as to what happened. So I didn't dwell on that in the film. I didn't dwell on the hows and the whys of why these two planes came together. I wanted to focus on the people and what the people are feeling now and how they're dealing with it today.
In studying this particular accident, what have you found is the difference between the public's reaction to aircraft accidents then and now?
I think the reaction is the same. I don't think that reaction has changed. I think it's still just a horrific event in people's minds, and there is a curiosity about it. There is that morbid curiosity to see what happens during a plane crash and you know, the aftermath and the wreckage and the carnage. There is a curiosity still, as it was back then. I mean, back then, that particular neighborhood was just, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people were crowding the streets trying to get a glimpse of what was going on. And I think that would be true today. I think if something like happened in the middle of the day, I think you would have a storm of people, you know, wanting to see and gawk and find, you know, and get a closer look.
What are the lingering effects of the accident and the people involved?
Some people are still in shock. Some people have not grieved completely. Some people have not put closure to it. Some people still have nightmares. I mean, you want to talk about a difference. The difference between then and now is now we have, if a plane crash took place today, the first thing that happens usually is families are quarantined and are offered immediate counseling and grief counseling. That happens right away. But 32 years ago, that wasn't the case. It was sort of, you got to seek it out yourself if you wanted it.
What are your plans for distributing the film?
Got a second run tonight in San Diego. Tonight's the second night that it's going to be here. Because last night, the premiere, people were turned away, and by the end of the night, there were already several hundred tickets sold for tonight. I'd like to get it out of San Diego and show it up and down the coast to Los Angeles and maybe Sacramento, where the plane originated from. I think it would have an impact there as well and help people up there, and then eventually take it across country and get other people's reaction who aren't so close to it and let them know that this actually happened. This is something that happened in one of their major cities in this country and how people are still dealing with it. I think that in itself is a universal theme.
I'm Farid Guillot, EAA Radio News.